the one who is and who was and who is to come, and from Jesus Christ, the first fruits of the resurrection, grace and peace be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, our eternal Redeemer, by the presence of your Spirit, you renew and direct our hearts. Keep always in our mind the end of all things and the day of judgment. Inspire us for a holy life here and bring us to the joys of the resurrection through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
You may be seated. Questions are good. Always ask your questions and we'll see what we can do for answers. If I don't know the answer, I'll go find it. Sometimes we need to plug things in, so that's just to give a little juice.
Oh, it's microphone, Jack. Okay. So, would you like to hear?
Reading from Job. Oh, that my words were written down. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that with an iron pen and with lead they were engraved on a rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, then in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see on my side, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 17 responsively. Hear a just cause, O Lord, give heed to my cry. Listen to my prayer, which does not come from lying lips.
Let my vindication come forth from your presence. Let your eyes be fixed on justice.
Examine my heart. Visit me by night. Melt me down. You will find no impurity in me.
My
footsteps hold fast to your well-worn path, and my feet do not slip.
I call on you, O God, for you will answer me. Incline your ear.
Show me your marvelous loving kindness, O Savior of those who take refuge at your right hand from those who rise against them.
Keep me
the wicked who assault me, from my deadly enemies who surround me.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning.
A reading from 2 Thessalonians. As to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we beg you, brothers and sisters, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as though from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord is already here. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first, and the lawless one is revealed, the one destined for destruction. He opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, declaring himself to be God. Do you not remember that I told you these things when I was still with you? But we must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and through belief in the truth. For this purpose he called you through our proclamation of the good news, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by word of mouth or by our letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God the Father, who loved us and through grace gave us eternal comfort and good hope, comfort your hearts and strengthen them in every good work and word. Word of God, word of life.
Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Some Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus and asked him a question. Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man should marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now, there were seven brothers. The first married and died childless, then the second, and the third married her, and so in the same way, all seven died childless. Finally, the woman died also. In the resurrection, therefore, Whose wife will she be? For the seven had married her. Jesus said to them, those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of a place in that age, in the resurrection from the dead, neither marry or are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore, because they are like angels and like children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is God not of the dead, but of the living, for to him all of them are alive. The Gospel of the Lord.
A number of years ago, there was a book called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. Any of you ever hear that saying, don't sweat the small stuff? Well, there was a whole book that explained that style of living, not being too concerned about little things that don't really matter. Well, I think Jesus should have given this book to the Sadducees. Use this as required reading for those. They came to Jesus with a question about the resurrection of the dead, but they were focused on the small stuff. They were trying to trick him up. Now, I've heard that there are no wrong questions, but there are some silly questions, or there are questions that show a bias or a preconceived notion, or questions that are asked only to put the other person on the spot. There are always questions about heaven. I've heard a few, not only from the preschool children, who can come up with quite the doozies. For example, if all the people who die go to heaven, it's going to be really crowded up there. Is there any room for me? Will you be the same age in heaven as the age that you die? What about people who have organ transplants? Who gets the heart or the kidney in heaven? And won't it be boring in heaven, just sitting around praising God all the time? And what if I don't like the harp? And Jesus answered them all, don't sweat the small stuff. In all of that, even death, Jesus has overcome. God is all about life and all about a relationship with us. You know, in all of the Bible, this is the only passage where Jesus references the resurrection of the dead. And it really isn't very much, is it? He really doesn't say much about what heaven's going to be like when he's asked that question. There really isn't. This is the only place where he really talks about it. And he tells us, don't get caught up in the small stuff so that you miss the really important stuff. It isn't about a place. It's not about bodies. It's not about ancient laws. It's only about promise and relationship. It's about promise and relationship. So what's a promise worth? What's your promise worth? Now, you would say, well, it all depends. You promise a child that you'll come out to play as soon as you finish reading the newspaper. Or you promise that as you use your credit card that you're going to pay. You promise a friend, I'll call you tomorrow. Now, promises may vary on the importance of the promise, or maybe it depends on to whom the promise is given. If it's someone that you know very well, I'll call you tomorrow. Or if it's someone that you don't know at all, does the promise change value then? What we do with the promises that we give and the promises that we receive tells a lot about us. It tells a lot about God, too. One of the main truths in all of Scripture, one of the main things that God reveals about God Himself, God is the maker of promises, and God keeps God's promises. The truth that God makes and keeps promises is the background for this story about Jesus being confronted with the Sadducees. They, along with other religious groups in Jerusalem at this time, are trying to gather the troops, gather folks around Jesus in order to bring him down. They are trying to get rid of Jesus. They come to him with a question, not looking for an answer. That they're coming with a question that they think for sure will trip him up. I mean, what a silly question. Who has seven brothers? This family that all married this woman. You know, I mean, it's like how many angels can dance on the head of a pin? It's a question that doesn't have an answer. And Jesus answers the question, however, by reminding them about Moses. And Moses is all about reminding us of the promises of God. Before Moses became a leader, before Moses became the one who gave the law from God to the people, before that, he was a shepherd. And he was out one day tending the flock of his father-in-law, and he sees this amazing thing. What is that? It's a bush, and it looks like it's burning, but it's not burning up. You know, it's kind of like, I would say, it's neon. It's flashing. It looks like flame, but it's not really burning. And Moses asks the question, what is that? What is that? And he goes over to investigate. What's going on here? And that question of Moses brings him into a relationship with God, with the God who calls him and claims him to be a part of the plan, the part of the plan to redeem the people of Israel who are in captivity, who are slaves in Egypt. And Moses leaves that encounter, that burning bush scene, as an agent of God. He is sent out to be God's representation, to be God's agent, to bring that action of God's promise. I will be your God, you will be my people. God's making good on that promise through Moses. And when Jesus reminds the Sadducees about Moses, that's what they're thinking. Oh yeah, he's the one who is the agent of God's promise. The promise that came true. This is the truth about God's promise, about God's unconditional love for us. God is the promise maker and the promise keeper. And death, even of seven brothers, death can't change that. God has promised to be the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And death doesn't change that. All of those patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they had all died. And God reveals God's self as the God of the living, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and our God too. The question of the resurrection can't be about whose wife is she, because the question of the resurrection is about God. About God's promise of being in relationship with us. It's not about us. It's about God. And for us, promises are conditional. We can promise, and I've heard children, and maybe you still do this, cross my heart and hope to die. What does that mean? That means that this promise is, I'm invoking even death, that I will keep this promise. But you know what? We cannot guarantee a promise. I'll see you tomorrow. I promise. I'm not sure what might happen to me tomorrow. that I can't come to see you. Our promises don't hold a guarantee like God's promise, which is unconditional. That's what makes Jesus' response to the Sadducees so wonderful. They misunderstand. They think that all promises are conditional, tied to the power of death. Cross my heart and hope to die. When you die, that's the end of all promises. When you die, you can't be held responsible anymore for keeping that promise. When Jesus says, reminding the Sadducees, that promises are not conditional, but unconditional. The woman was married to each of the brothers, and then death parted them. But God's promise is different. God's promise is unconditional, not bound by death. Not bound by death. Resurrected life is not like earthly life, where we are bound by marriage and laws. Resurrected life is different. The Sadducees make the same mistake that a lot of people make. They take the life experience of how we experience it now, and they think that resurrection in the future will be more of this. More of the, and for some of us, that's good news, and for some of us, that is terrible news, to think that heaven is just going to be more of this, only better. That's the better place that people refer to when they say to someone who has lost a loved one, well, they're in a better place now. That's not what Jesus is talking about with the resurrected life. Jesus doesn't buy into that way of thinking, that it's more of the same, but just better. Like the difference between my party and Disneyland. You know, it's not just better. It's not the same at all. Heaven isn't like this, only better. Heaven is being in a relationship with God. It's living the fulfillment of God's promise. Jesus doesn't say much about the resurrection of the dead. He didn't explain what this is about. But he does say this, that God is faithful to God's promise, and even death can't change that. We don't know how to answer questions about heaven. There isn't any answers about what heaven is like. But we can trust God's promise, and we can trust that God's promise of eternal life is true for us. And it's here, now, in this life, that we begin to experience that. In this community of faith, we can find strength to live in that mystery. We can't explain it, but we can find strength to live the mystery. Here we are gathered as ones who are claimed by God, who are sealed with the cross of Christ, who are marked with that promise of the Holy Spirit, that promise of eternal life. We have been marked with that cross, and we have been sealed with that sign of eternal life. We don't know what heaven is like, but we do know that we can trust in the promise of that life. The life of the baptized, linked to the one who has defeated death, is a life of promised resurrection. Heaven is not then or there, but heaven is now, is here, in the life, the beginnings of that, in the life that we live as Christians. Here, in the shadow of the cross, here in the waters of baptism, here in the bread and wine of Holy Communion, here in the fellowship of believers, here in the community of faith gathered together, here in the words of sacred scripture, we find ourselves living out that promise and strengthened for our journey in life. Because we are held in that promise, anything is possible. Bushes burn without being consumed. Nations are set free of slavery. A man crucified on the cross is risen. A nation of saints are united with all the saints who have gone before us. All this is true because God is the promise keeper who loves us into eternal life. Amen.